We learned that intercession, it means that we're going to interact, we're going to intervene, and we're going to intercept. That's what it means. It also has another meaning. It means this. Intercession, urgently bombarding God with petitions for Jesus' sake, for Jesus. Like, before it was earnestly bombarding God with petitions for other people. But let me ask you something. Jesus wants his reward. He wants his reward. He didn't just come down and die and go through the cross and suffer. It says he went through because the joy set before him. Jesus wants his reward. Are you willing to partner with him to give him it? Because that's why. That's why, if it's not because other people, it's because Jesus. That's why he came, to redeem people, to bring us into right standing with God. And when we begin to do that, we begin to grow in him more. Do you understand that teaching isn't how you grow, and learning isn't how you grow? Teaching's good and learning has a place, but that's not how you grow. How do you grow in him? You exercise your faith. You begin to step out and do. It says this, that the man that built his house and was a follower and a doer of the word and just not a hearer, guess what happened? He built it on the rock. But then there was a person who just wanted to learn about God, learn Christianese. And it said in the word, it says this, and when they built their house, they built it on the sand. So when the rains came, the flood descended and everything else happened, the house didn't stand. But the house that was built on the rock, that's what stood. We're going to be picking up today in James 5, 13 through 16. It's pretty good. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't think you guys can see it all up there, can you? Okay, I do apologize. We're going to pick up. And this is the part that I think we want to focus on right here. And the prayer of faith will cure the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, it will be forgiven him. There's something that I highlight there. It's called the prayer of faith. Do you know there's a way of praying that's in faith and there's a way of praying that's not in faith? Did you know that? It says the prayer of faith. So my question came and wanted to know, God, how do we begin to pray in faith? How does that actually look and how does that happen? Because a lot of times we can pray, but if we say, well, I believe that God's going to give me what I'm asking, or I believe he's going to do it. Do you ever thank God after you get done praying for the thing that you prayed about? Or do you find yourself praying more like, Lord, and we thank you, and if it's your will, that's good enough. I'm hitting this strong because the whole thing about just praying, if it's your will, that isn't in faith. A lot of times, like I said before, we say that because it's safe. It's safe to say it. What happens if I look stupid? Well, it wasn't the Lord's will, so I'm off the hook, right? Come on. But that's how we tend to think. I can picture the early church praying for Peter. And you know what happened is they weren't praying, Lord, if it's your will. Were they? Uh-uh. It says they prayed all night long, groaning with intercession. And then what ended up happening with Peter? An angel comes down. God cannot ignore faith. I want to tell you that. God will not ignore faith. I believe it was the revivalist Smith Wigglesworth who said, there was a group of people that said, God's not moving here. He's like, let me come and gotta move. And it wasn't that he was being cocky or anything. He was just saying, look, if we would begin to believe, then God would begin to move once we really believed and stepped into it. And it says this, the prayer of faith will cure the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. So your prayer of faith cures the sick and it's God's job to raise him up. Did you catch that? Your prayer of faith. And it says if they committed any sins, it will be forgiven. A lot of times we're like, well, God's going to do it in the sweet by and by. But it says, listen, if he's committed any sins, he will be forgiven. When you're dead, there's no need to forgive your sins. I just want to share that with you. It's talking about here. And then the next scripture says, confess faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous one avails much. We're going to focus right there on the effectual, fervent prayer. What does that mean? What does that look like? There's a prayer of faith, and he's also going in and saying the effectual, fervent prayer. What in the world is a fervent prayer? Well, what's fermented alcohol? Yeah, we kind of know what that is, right? Get some wine and it's fermented. So it's been sitting for a while, right? Had time to do what? Strengthen. So what he's saying is, I want you guys to be fervent in your prayers. What does it mean for us to be fervent? Does it just mean not taking action? How can we become fervent with God? Yes, not giving up. Absolutely. You know, there's a heart position there where you won't give up until God answers with the yes. And sometimes it's like, well, how do we know God's going to say yes? The Word of God says that we know, we have confidence with Him when we ask, because we don't ask according to our own fleshly desires, but we ask according to His will. But if you don't know the will of God, you can't really take that position. Do you know God requires us to know His will? Did you know that? It's not supposed to be a big mystery. We make it out to be like this big mystery, like the will of God, who knows it. God actually wants us to know His will. So when we open up the Bible, we read about what Jesus said and what Jesus did. We read about what the apostles wrote. And they're stressing, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's up to us to begin to open the Bible and not just open it and read it and check it off on the list saying we got it done for the day and pat myself on the back. I've been there. You know, when I was younger, I had a weird way of thinking, man. I used to think that God, you know, I'm going to read my Bible and do all this stuff and I'm getting some brownie points. Anybody ever been there? Come on, just being honest. And I love the fact that God stripped me away from all that nonsense. Because when I read, I'm not reading to get brownie points. I'm reading to have an encounter with God. I'm reading to not only understand His word, I want the Holy Spirit to begin to confirm and show me and reveal to me. I'm not satisfied with just reading and getting knowledge. I need a revelation that's going to change who I am inside. It says this, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? How do you renew your mind? It's the Word of God. So when I read, I'm expecting God to renew something in me. When you open the Bible, are you expecting God to show up? Are you expecting just to get information? In Matthew 17:14-21, it says, and when they came to the crowd, a man came to him kneeling down and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, grievously vexed, and oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. What does that mean? What happened? They could not cure him. Jesus gave us, we're going to really look at this for a second. And it's not all about healing. It's about really stepping in a place of faith with God. So when you're praying, things move. Listen, I'm all for healing, but there's people's lives at stake and I need things to move. You understand? So Jesus gave his disciples a command, said, and he sent them out two by two. He says, go. Pray for the sick, pray for the lepers, and he even told them to raise the dead. And so they came to this boy who was like a lunatic. He was cutting himself, falling in the fire, and everything else. And his father's like, could you guys pray for him? And they said, yeah, we're going to pray. But when they saw the actions of the boy, what they saw was bigger than who they knew. Is what you're seeing bigger than who you know? Or is God that big yet? We can complain about what's going on in our country, or we can trust in the Lord with all our heart. And we can say God's bigger than what circumstances are here in this moment. Come on, you have family members and they're struggling. They're out there and they're crazy. I have an uncle that's on drugs, man. Is God bigger than what the circumstance is? Do I believe God's going to get him and grip his heart? Absolutely. Do I believe God's going to send someone to him? Even if it's not me, I'm okay with it. So that doesn't have to be me, but God's going to stir someone up enough to go and speak to him where he's at. I need God to move. Do you? I don't just need him to move. I desire him to move. I need him to for the sake of others, and I desire him to with all passion. Because, listen, preaching is good, but it ain't good enough. Teaching is good, but it's not good enough. What we need is actual encounters with God. And we need God to break things off that have been generational. We need God to break things off that just aren't matching up to what he's saying we could match up to be. You know, a lot of times when Jesus healed somebody, he made a statement. He said, go forth and better not mention that too much because you'll get beat up for that one. That tells me there's a place to walk with God in which sin doesn't even entertain me anymore. I wonder if that's called holiness. There's a place to walk with God that we can have with him, that we begin to walk in holiness with him. You know, I listen to a lot of sometimes old-time preachers like 1950 and stuff and down. You know, they were some radical dudes, man. I admire them so much. You got Tozer out there. You have A. Allen. You have William Branham. You have all these radical men who stepped in and believed God, and radical things happened. Do you know what the Welsh Throat Revival is? How many people know what that is? If you don't, I'm going to share it with you. This guy was in a church service by himself. It was a few people, and they're in a prayer meeting praying for the outpouring of God, praying that God does something. God stepped in, and I don't even understand how to explain it, but he stepped in the city, and people by the grove started giving their lives to Jesus. Because it wasn't about a preacher. It was about God. I need you to step in. I want you to step in. I can't live without you stepping in and showing up. It says people would come to that town and they would, even if you were passing through, you would get this feeling over you like somebody is watching me. And conviction would fall on people. The neighboring town over, people began, they were in a dance party. All the youth ran out of the dance party and went to like the sheriff's office because they knew he was a godly man. And they're wailing on the street, crying, saying, Lord, mercy on us, mercy on us. That sounds a little crazy to believe, doesn't it? That sounds like what? Yeah. It does, doesn't it? There's a lot of Ninevehs out, but if there's a lot of Ninevehs, there's a lot of Jonas. We don't want to be Jonah. We want to be Elijah. See, Elijah and Jonah had two different perspectives. Jonah didn't want it, and Elijah said, I'm going to challenge it right now. It says in Scripture that Elijah was a man of effectual, fervent prayer, that he prayed, and for 3 years, it did not rain on the land. And then guess what happened? He challenged the other priests. He challenged the followers of Baal. He said, let's do this. Let's make a challenge. I'm going to build an altar here, and you build your altar, and you worship Baal, and if fire comes down, we'll serve Baal. But I'm going to build an altar here, and if fire comes down, we're going to serve the Lord God. Well, the priests of Baal were cutting themselves. It looked crazy. And they were trying to get Baal to do something, but he wasn't listening. Elijah said, I wonder where your God is. He doesn't have ears to hear, eyes to see. And Elijah goes over on his side. He's like, this is what we're going to do. I love the story because it's so awesome. He said, we're going to get some water. Come on, who knows that when you put wood in water, that's not a good way to light it? It's not good at all. But Elijah said, we're going to build a little trench around it. And he dumped water on it, made it so soaking, it was sobbing wet. And once Elijah, I can picture him saying, I don't got time for any more of these Baal guys. He said, okay, you're done. Let me do this. And he was a man of prayer. The Bible said he was a man of prayer. He learned how to be fervent with God. And so he prayed and he said, Lord, boom. Not only did the altar get burned up, but the stones that were in the altar and the water got even burnt up. How do you burn water? You're not kidding. But that's what happened. Do you know that God wants us to begin to avail with him so we can have Elijah moments in our lives? So we don't just have Elijah moments, because moments bring us to having being an Elijah generation. The Bible tells me that we're a priesthood of believers. And so if we can begin to step into what Elijah saw, and he didn't even have the Holy Spirit in him like we do. I'm just being honest. He didn't have that. So what happened next in the story? Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long I suffer you? Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Can't see it, but if you have your Bibles, it's 17th verse. It's pretty cool. It's Matthew 17, 17. So that's what Jesus did. And then the cool thing was, his disciples, they humbled themselves. They didn't run off on some crazy type of theology saying, well, only Jesus can do it. Because that's not what Jesus said. We have a lot of view like that. Well, that's Jesus. Do you know my Bible says greater things will we do because he goes to the Father? And if you break down, he says greater works. If you actually break that down to the Greek and Hebrew, people say, well, we can. We got cell phones. We got the internet. Do you know that's not what Jesus was talking about? Jesus wasn't talking about communicating on the internet, and he wasn't talking about having cell phones. He wasn't even talking about broadcasting on TV. But we make it about that because that's what we can do in our flesh. How do I know it's true? Because people who aren't born again can do the same type of things, and they do. So maybe that wasn't what Jesus was talking about. But Jesus said greater things. And the works, that word breaks down to the miraculous miracles that Jesus had done. He said, you can do too. How many people actually believe they can? How many people have stepped out to try it out? Come on. To say I believe it and not try it out, you really don't believe it. It's okay. Because this is where growth happens at. So the disciples came to Jesus. They humbled themselves. And the disciples came to him and apart and said, and apart means they came to him alone. They didn't want to look stupid in front of everyone. You know, I realized something. If we would begin to come to God alone, he can download revelations to us and information, and he begins to change some things. So when we're out in public, things change and look different. How do I know that's true? Jesus said, don't be like the Pharisees who make long prayers on street corners, but instead go to your closet and where no man can see you, and but your Father who is in heaven. And guess what happens? Your Father will what? Reward you. Maybe that's what Jesus meant. So his disciples, they said, why couldn't we cast him out? And a lot of us think it's about the demon, and it's not. And Jesus said to them, because of your, he didn't say because of the demon. Wow. He said, because of your unbelief. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to the mountain, move from there to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible for you. He was a revivalist, and he didn't like working with pastors. I was like, wow, why not? It's history. He said, the reason why I don't like working with pastors is what he said. He said, because they'll get excited for a moment about the truth of the word, but then when they don't see it, they have to live with people who are disheartened, and instead of continually believing and preaching, they'll give up. That challenged me. That convicted me. That hurt. It made me think to myself, what kind of pastor do I want to be for you guys? Do I want to be the type that walks with you through hard things and continues to believe, or just preach happy-go-lucky messages so we're all pacified? I had to let God convict me and break my heart. Because I know this type of stuff is tough. And what happens when you don't see it? You know, I lost my Uncle Larry to cancer. My other uncle, he died from he had a brain operation. He died. He was in a coma for like 2 years. I would go visit him and pray over him and continue to speak the word over him. I wouldn't give up. And I didn't see what I believed for. Do you understand how much that crushes one's heart? I understand it, guys. I'm not above it. I've been there. It hurts. But faith is when you don't see it, you continue to believe. Fervency means, dude, I didn't see it a lot of times, but that didn't change the fact that God said it. And I've seen some crazy triumphs and I've seen some horrible letdowns. But guess what? Ryan sung a song today, "You're Never Gonna Let Me Down." Because my focus isn't the outcome, it's on God being good. And then Jesus goes on and says, however, this kind of unbelief does not go out except by prayer. What's the other word? Oh, man. Oh, man. He had to say that one. He just dropped the nuke, man. You know, he said, this stuff doesn't go out but by prayer and fasting. What doesn't go out? The demons? No. Your unbelief. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so we'll hear a preacher preach all day, right? So we can get some faith. But what does that have to do with your unbelief? It says in scripture, God has given every man a measure of faith and all you need is the size of a mustard seed. But if your unbelief's the size of a giant oak tree, then guess what? Do you know what's challenging? Who gets excited to fast? Who's excited to pray? A couple people, but no one's getting excited to fast. You're asking me not to eat? Are you out of your mind? Have you ever seen me hangry? Come on. This isn't my words, it's Jesus' words. He says, if you want to see what I said you can see and live in what I said you can have, if you want to have rulership over your flesh by making it submissive to the spirit, so when opposition and situations come, you can be fervent in prayer, then this is what you have to do. We don't want to do that, though. We say that we believe, but when it really comes down to it, how many people have a lifestyle of fasting incorporated in their life? Do you know what I find so cool about Jesus is I watched Jesus' life, and at the beginning of his ministry, look, God spoke to him, the Holy Spirit baptized him, and then he was led to the wilderness for 40 days. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to lead you to an uncomfortable place, and Paul says it's hard to kick against the prick. Thank you. Absolutely. The Spirit drove him. He was so willing to see the kingdom of God come that he submitted himself even to the point of death, but by the leading of the Spirit into the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days. Ouch. Am I telling you guys to fast for 40 days? No. I'm not into legalism. I don't make rules out of it. Okay? I'm telling you, if you want to see your unbelief go so you can see the kingdom of God come, then this is what it's going to take. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you the truth. It's in your Bible. And some people say, well, I don't believe that. I believe that's old covenant. Jesus didn't tell his disciples if you fast. He said when you fast. But I like Pizza Hut. I do too. Man, I do. Do you understand when you're fasting, your body has to actually, you're fighting against something? On the back, if you have the sermon notes, on the back I have this comparison, and I'm just going to share one. Faith ignores all of the physical senses. Faith does. People in their physical senses say, dude, that mountain's not going to move. That person's sick. That cannot happen. And yeah, God's going to save him eventually. And they'll go to this word right here. Well, he knows who's already predestined. Right? And they'll play it safe right there. But my Bible says that if I ask and I don't ask amiss, God's going to do some things. So it says that faith ignores all of the physical senses and limitations. Do you know what fasting does? It heightens the senses, but it also fights against it. You're hungry. You're irritable. It makes things come to the surface, doesn't it? Who wants to be purified? Come on. Because it says the pure in heart see God. And if you're not seeing God, do you really want to be purified? I know it's a heavy topic right there, but we're going to have to talk about it. Let me share this with you. Prayer and fasting equals fervency. Did the disciples have the word from God to go out and do things? Yes. They didn't see it. Why? Their unbelief. So Jesus said, if you want to be fervent, this is what you need to do. And I have underneath it, fervency equals praying in faith. You can't pray in faith until you're fervent. And if you're not fasting and praying secretly and privately and get with your prayer partners and say, this is what we're believing God for, okay, then you're not going to be fervent. So when you pray, it's going to sound good. It's going to be the Christian thing to do. But guess what? No power behind it. Is that okay for me to talk this way with you guys? If we want and desire God to move, then this is what he said. This is how you get me to move. God gave us the blueprint. He says, if you want to take your nation back, then this is what the church needs to do. If you want to take your families back, then this is what you need to do. But are you doing it? And then are you upset because you don't see God show up? You're like, well, Tap, hold on one second. It's not all about gifts. It's about character. I said, I believe it. I know it's not all about gifts. It's not all about the miraculous, but guess what? We serve a supernatural God who made us supernatural beings to live on earth. So much to the fact that he calls us children of God. And so when people see us, they should see something different. When we're around other believers, Jesus should show up because he said, I'm in the midst. And people should begin to get convicted and begin to say, oh my goodness. They told Jesus, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obeyed him? Did not Jesus say, greater things you'll do? Wouldn't it be cool if people begin to say, what manner of God do you serve? Because I ain't never seen something like this in my life. Can I just share a story? Kelly, is it okay if I share your story for a little bit? Cool. This is an awesome story. Listen, there's a worship night going on here. And I just love it because I love real reactions. I love the rawness of it. And I don't see my dude Trey here, so I'm sharing Kelly. The women were in their worship service. We had this worship service here. And the women, they didn't do this before. Heather and Jude never did this before. They just decided to speak what God was telling them over people. Well, Kelly happened to be here that day. It was so exciting. I was like, hi. So I was just talking to her. And these women start talking to her and telling her about herself and her life. It's pretty crazy, wasn't it? What did you say to me? You said, are they? I love it. I'm like, no, they have God living in them. And God shares with them about themselves and about other people, because God is so about loving people and communicating to them. Do you know what that scripture says? If someone comes into the assembly and you start speaking every little secret thing they did in their life, they have no choice but to give their lives over to Jesus. Can we just give a hand clap for our new sister in Christ? We welcome you. We love you. We're here to partner with you and love you and encourage you. That's what we're here for. D- Do you know that's the goal of the kingdom of God? That many Kellys be born again. That many Trays, he's not here, but he's another one. God told me that revival starts in 2019. Every week, people have been getting born again. Every week so far. It's not about me, it's about what he said. And it's about being willing to step in what he said. I just don't want to see people get born again. I want to see the church, the body of believers, get discipled so that in their lives they see people getting born again and having disciples. Because that's the nature and the reason why the church is even here. But are you willing to get fervent with God first? Are you willing to get fervent? Are you willing to let it cost you a little bit of something? Sacrifice does not mean losing, it means gaining. Is it okay to sacrifice a day so that someone can have a new day? You got to start weighing things out in your own heart. I'm not trying to convict you guys, but I'm saying you got to weigh this out in your own heart. Is the outcome worth it? Is the joy set before you worth the enduring and sufferings of the cross? Jesus said, if any man desires to follow me, he has to do what? Carry his cross and deny himself. Are you willing to do that for the joy set before you? For Jesus rejoicing in heaven, having his reward, and other people in your community and family saying, oh, I just want God. Those wow moments for your children's sake, for your loved one's sake, for the community's sake, and more importantly, for the kingdom of God's sake. So in the back of your pamphlet, I have this little comparison. I want you guys to read through it. And just to give you an idea, I'm not going to read it with you guys today. I want you to read through it. I want you to get encouraged by it. I want to challenge you in that area because I believe God is calling us to fervency. He told me the first 7 years are guaranteed, but if we learn to carry it, he'll make it another 7.